Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're continuing on with our concerns series tonight. And we have, I think, perhaps a little known concern for the Baltimore Ravens, or a lot of people not considering it a concern. And that's the return of full health and productivity of Mark Andrews. Joining us to talk about that is Mark Blue. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. How are you doing?
No complaints right now, an Oriole off day, so no complaints about other sports. I'm a little bit concerned about Mark Andrews, as you are. Definitely a crossroads season, but tell me why you chose this as a concern.
I chose this because I was listening to the Expectations podcast you did with Bobby Trossett a few weeks ago, and I was walking my dog, and I thought, well, I've had a lower leg injury very similar to Mark Andrews. Of course, it's a completely different situation, of course. I'm not a football player. Ken can see me. I've got chubby cheeks. But it's kind of interesting. I don't think have that kind of injury. First of all, I don't think he should have really maybe have pushed himself to play in the AFC Championship. I think the offense is running great. But I think coming into this next year, I think we should be looking at a down year from him. I think we should be realistic about that. I don't think... I mean, he's 29. He's now had a major leg injury. And I think we need to just be realistic about what we should be looking for from Andrews.
Very reasonable. Obviously, it's a very important season for Mark. Reports from OTAs and whatnot are good so far, that he's moving quite well and catching the fall, still a favorite target of Lamar, et cetera, et cetera. But they haven't put the pads on yet, of course, and we really don't know exactly how well he's doing. But the good news is that at least to start, it appears like he's going to be okay to start camp and be ready to go from there. He's facing at least two different pressures right now, though. The first from behind, that Isaiah Likely is playing very well. is under contract for the same 2 years that remain, 25 and 26, as a very inexpensive rookie deal still. Mark's under contract for 24 and 25 in both cases. Mark's under contract for 24 at a contract at a rate they can't get out of because it's got a lot of guaranteed money already and there's no cap savings. But for 25, he can be caught with $11 million in cap savings before that season. So this becomes an enormous year for Andrews in a lot of ways. So he's facing both the pressure from Likely and the pressure from the Ravens cap space to kind of force him out of a Ravens uniform. And this is an important year to retain a regain a significant amount of production.
True. I think we would like, especially those of us who remember the 2019 season fondly, we would love to see Mark Andrews be that guy again. I don't know if that's realistic for us or Andrews to look like that moving forward. He's had some injury history in the past, mostly in his right leg and his right shoulder. Nothing's been concerning too much until this this lower leg injury of his. And I also think that if Munkin was smart, he's known as a tendency breaker now. We saw that he had great success moving away from Andrews to kind of spreading the ball around a little bit more. I don't know why he would want to go back to Mark Andrews immediately following a major injury, especially with Likely coming up behind. It also makes good sense from Eric DaCosta, every dollar counts, to go with Likely. It's going to be a cheaper contract. And I mean, the 80-20 rule, are we sure that Mark Andrews is that much better of a blocker than Kolar? Because it seems like we might be able to get Kolar on a longer deal for pretty reasonable. Are we sure from a front office standpoint that Andrews is going to be the guy moving into his 30s?
Well, I wouldn't be sure of that, but all three of those guys are coming up on the contract at the same point, with the exception that Mark could be cut prior to the 25 season. Okay, so but all of them are under contract through 25 currently. So the decision doesn't have to be made until at the earliest after 24, because you don't have any contracts you'd reasonably could or want to get out of among those three guys. So they're all going to be on the team. So I guess, you know, let's talk about the Munkin point you made first. Would the Ravens be advised still to see what Andrews has in the tank? They don't have to own any part of his future after 2024. They can be completely out from under his contract if they cut him after the year. And presumably, you know, with Derrick Henry, play action is going to look more attractive. They were obviously extraordinarily successful throwing to the tight ends last year with a passer rating over 140. It was 135 to Andrews last year, which was the high point of his career. I know we're not guaranteed that he's coming back as that player, but is there a reason not to try to see who Andrews is in 2024 since you're wedded to him anyway?
I think you need to see where he's at. I think this is a team that's going to make it to the playoffs. I think low end of the spectrum, we're looking at wild card. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to be looking at Mark Andrews as we did Odell Beckham last year, which is protect him, keep him going, move him forward into the postseason, and then unleash him and see what he's got then. I think this is a guy who is an extremely aggressive player. He's one of my favorite players. I've got to be realistic about that. I like the way he plays the game. When he gets the ball, it's just like a fighter's jab. It just comes out of nowhere and it's just going to knock your teeth out if you're not looking for it. And the problem with that, from Andrew's standpoint, is that he's got this lower leg injury as a big guy. We saw this with hip drop tackle last year. People like to roll up on you. He needs to be able to protect himself, and we need to be conscious of that. Or I should say the front office, and specifically Munkin and Harbaugh, need to be proactive and make sure that he's not going to be in situations where too early in the season where he's going to be at risk of damaging himself early, but he's still coming off of recovery.
Okay, so he's critical to the team. We want him for the playoffs. We want to make sure he's rested going through. You know, looking at the tight end group they have four guys between Ricard, Kolar, Likely, and Andrews. They're not going to play 12 personnel all the time. And if they each got a percentage of snaps they'd like to have, I bet you'd come up to somewhere in the high twos in terms of snaps per play Okay, that ain't happening because 2.30 is the 2022 Ravens, which were about the heaviest offense of all time. If they went to as heavy as 2.0, which I think is very unlikely, the Ravens are actually the only team in the last 6 or 7 years now who's been that heavy in terms of personnel. They could do it because they really want to emphasize the run game more, but it would be taking a step back in terms of the amount of 11 personnel that they would go to. They go to a lot more 12, a lot more 21, very possible. But I'm basically the point of this entire diatribe is that I think it's already built into their personnel that they're kind of have to protect Andrews just because the snap count, the snaps are going to be so hard to come by. Barring injuries certainly will dictate some of that, but barring injuries, they have too many mouths to feed in terms of snaps.
Yeah, I think they do. I think that's a great problem to have. We were talking a few years ago about there's really no receiver. We were wondering if fifth stringers were going to be the number one receiver after Andrews. I think that's a great problem to have, first of all. I think that Andrews does two things for Lamar. Number one, he is the security blanket. He's always going to get his target share. He's not like Gronkowski for Brady was in that, and Kelsey is for Mahomes. You have the quarterback needs their security blanket, and they're going to force their way on. They're going to players that if Andrew says, I'm taking this play, it's going to take a lot for the coaching staff to say, no, sit back down. Andrews is arguably behind Ricard, one of the better best run blockers he has. In a realistic world, this is Madden. You're never taking Andrews off the field. And the reality is, though, we've got these mouths to feed. I think we need to start spreading the ball around more. I think that Lamar needs to kind of start taking his eye off of Andrews and learning to trust some of these other guys. Like, we already know he trusts Flowers, and I think we need to kind of develop this earlier in the season. And like I said, we're always going to have that jab that is Andrews coming into the postseason.
Yeah, I'm completely with you in terms of it. The Ravens offense will be more efficient if Andrews has less targets. I think he's been the guy from particularly 18 through 22, for those 5 years, who had a lot of marginal targets, which were inefficient. So diminishing marginal returns on his targets, too many bailout targets, too many last resort targets. One of the big problems was there wasn't enough extended play magic and same pagedness as there was in 23. In 23, all of a sudden, we saw all sorts of players, Flowers, Aguilar, Andrews himself, Isaiah Likely, all have wonderful off-schedule chemistry with Lamar. So that ought to help in reducing his kind of marginal targets, I would think. But I do think the Ravens' tight end targets dropped from 195 in 2022 to 110 last year, and their passer rating went up to 140 net for the tight end group, including 12 touchdowns and no interceptions thrown to those guys. Something about that tells me that Monk is going to want to throw more to the tight end and not less. And then, you know, add in Derrick Henry, and I think we're going to see more than 110 tight end targets this next year. I'd bet a lot on that.
I think you might be right on that. I don't see any problem with that. My personal preference is 4-11, but that's a personal bias coming from watching high school football. Mm-hmm. I think that in the pros, running the ball wins. You see Kansas City, they try and run the ball in the playoffs. That's what was successful for them last year. I think especially with Mark Andrews being that right that jab we see and Herndon coming in and just being the bruising back that he is, that's going to be a great combination. Again, I'm just concerned about early in the season. Do we want to set up Mark Andrews on that recovery path? I think we can also establish Kolar, especially Kolar. He's a big, tall dude who last year we saw him just roll people over when he had the ball in his hands. I think he had the ball in his hands maybe twice, both on seam routes, both kind of the way that you kind of want to be using. You're talking about using Andrews. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be spreading the ball around to both Kolar and Likely. I mean, this is year 3 for Kolar. We barely knew who he is as a pass catcher.
That's
right. Kind of know who he is as a run blocker. And I mean, Likely is going to be a stud somewhere. Hopefully it's here in Baltimore. But again, we're talking about in 2 years, what are we going to do with all three of these guys?
Right. Great point. And they're highly incented too, because Likely is considerably younger. If they're the same player and the salary was the same, they'd take Likely in a heartbeat. My guess is Likely is really going to cash in. So it may be some 80-20 things go on at tight end after the 25 season for the Ravens. But let's get back to Andrews for a second, because we're concerned about his production. Had 61 targets in 10 games last year. What to you, what's a reasonable peel back of those targets? Because already at 61, I'll tell you, if you project that out to 16 games, that'd be 102 targets and change, maybe 105 targets, let's call it. And he's had 153 targets in 2021 and 113 targets in 22. Let's just work off targets per game, or give me, assuming he would play a full season, what's the number of targets you'd like to see?
Can I take this at a weird angle? I don't want to give you a per game basis. I want to give you I want to keep him around 80 to 90 snaps, 80 to 90 targets maybe throughout the entire season. But okay. I want those to be backloaded. I think I want to see him every game at least catch three balls or get three targets. I don't want to see it force the ball to him early, especially because we've never really seen you've been hinting at kind of a drop. A regression for the defense. Maybe people will be trailing some. When we've been trailing, we've seen that Lamar goes to Andrews. That seems to be the trend. I don't really want to see Lamar use Andrews like that until he's proven he can use him someone else. Not necessarily because of Andrews' injury itself, although that is part of it. More because I want to see what's going to happen in the playoffs with other people. Because my worry is if we focus on Andrews two more, we're going to raise his injury risk. And we're also going to lower other people's chemistry with Lamar.
Right. They won't have an opportunity to build trust. I get that. And that makes sense. It makes sense to get Kolar as many opportunities as he can. And hopefully not with the backup quarterback during the regular season. His only touchdown was from Huntley, of course, last year. It's not like I disagree with you that the amount of targets you're proposing, which could be perfectly reasonable at, 80 to 90, you said, right? So let's say it was 90 targets. He hasn't had a per game target total like that, as low as that, since his rookie season. His rookie season was extremely efficient, but so was his last season. His last season, tremendously efficient in terms of what he did on a per play basis, with as the 135 passer rating throwing to him would suggest. So it's, he's not necessarily that player. He's a year older. The Ravens have a real need to plan for the future. And I agree with all those points. Maybe what sort of a drop off in his play are you expecting? Did you want to pivot to that and talk about that for a little bit?
Yes. I'm expecting that he's not going to have the same mobility that he had. I don't know precisely where his injury was. The injury that was reported was a leg fibula fracture. We know it's the fibula, we know it's of the leg, and we know it was a fracture. We don't know where it is. If this is close to the ankle like mine was, I have never regained the mobility that I had on that ankle. I suffer from tendonitis from it still. If this is something similar with Andrews, we'll never see him have the same mobility before. I don't suspect that's the case because he was able to play in the AFC Championship game, but I can't rule that out either. I would like to say that we're not going to know who he is until later in the season, November or December. I don't think we should be looking to see what he looks like before that either. I want to see what he looks like the first couple of games, kind of based off of a prediction like that. Prediction after that, I think it'll be easier for him to possibly run block more in the early season. You never want to take him off the field, even going into like the postseason, because he has that respect with Lamar that everyone fears. But my concern is that this drop-off is actually real. I mean, yeah, we hear from OTAs that he's doing good, but again, we heard from OTAs a couple of years ago that Ronnie Stanley was doing really good. I mean, sure. We don't know for sure what the player is going to look like until we see the player. I'm just worried that we're going to all buy into this hype, and then the first 2 months of the season go by, and Andrews is not Andrews.
Okay, so we got to put this in some term where you're putting a stake in the ground. This is where I'm trying to get you to here. So if you look at last year, Mark Andrews played 70% of the snaps in the games he was healthy, and that's probably a little bit lower than otherwise be because he was injured, I think, in the first half of the game against the Bengals. So he really played like 9.5 games, and that's looking at 10 full games. He's played 70% of the snaps. What percentage of the snaps would you like him to play? And understanding the fact that I understand you're going to want him to grade up from maybe, if you wanted him to play 65% of the snaps, you might want him to grade up from 55 to 73 over the course of the season. to be 65 on average through the season, for example. But give me a percentage of snaps you want him to play this season that you think is going to allow for whatever recovery is necessary, allow him to remain fresh and be ready for the playoffs.
Well, Ken, you've got me on something. I don't like putting my stake in the ground. I like to sit there and speculate. But no, I think that's a good thing to do. I think, for being realistic, I think 70% throughout the season is going to be just fine, because not all these are going to be these snaps he's going to take are going to be pass catching snaps. He's not a wide receiver. He's going to be doing a fair amount of run blocking. He's going to be running routes that may not be designed for him to get the football, to get someone else open. I don't think in those cases he has to be 100% or close to it. I think he can probably do a reasonable, maybe 75% of what he was and still be fine, still be effective. Like I said, this is over the course of the season. I want to see him less in the first 2 months of the season of the year, and then kind of going up more. Like I would say, at the low end, I want to see him at the 50% percent of offensive snaps. At the low end, maybe week one or two, assuming he's like suffering from some injury. I want them to be very protective of him. He's not Ronnie Stanley. He doesn't have to play every single snap. I want to see him near the end of the season, regular season, and moving into the playoffs. I want to see him move more into the 75-85%. That's kind of where I want to see. I want to see it kind of balance out into that where he was now.
It's first of all, that's perfectly achievable if the Ravens want to do it, because they have so many mouths to feed, particularly early in the season when presumably everybody will be healthy starting out. We don't, you know, there's no injuries in the group currently. We'll see if that holds up. We certainly hope it does. But if he starts off strong, it's going to be very hard to hold him to that, I'll just say. But otherwise, you know, all those guys need to get snaps, and the Ravens have options on how to rest Andrews. That will hurt his statistics and hurt his chance to maybe really get paid by another team potentially, but would be a better way to move him back in. But you know, if they're blowing teams out like they were last year, they do not need to keep him in. They have good other options in Kolar and Likely that are, you know, 93% of what Mark Andrews is apparently right now, and have been already effective in the past. They don't have to use him as much on blocking. They can use him more as a receiver. Now, it's true, he's been the best blocker for a little bit now, but they also have Ricard, who now plays a lot in line. I think the Ravens have options to dial back the amount that he'll be on the field when they want to. And I think there's good reasons to keep a fresh tight end out there as your main pass catcher. The thing I do think is total tight end targets are going to be way up this year because of a couple of things. First of all, how successful they were last year. But second of all, I'll give you three. The second of all, they have fewer receiving options this year with Odell gone. And then number three is Derrick Henry is here, which creates an enormous play action opportunity for this team that they're going to want to cash in on. And that's tight ends. I mean, they could do a little bit of the Flowers. They could do a little bit for other players. But I think it's basically going to be, how do you get behind the linebackers and in front of the safeties? And that's almost all tight ends in terms of those patterns. So I'm excited to see what they do. I think it's going to be challenging for the Ravens to cut his snaps without really being purposeful and mindful of where they're doing it.
I would agree with that. Like I said, it's going to be hard for Likely to get on the field every single snap like he's going to want. It's going to be very hard for Kolar to get in there. Mm-hmm. I think you're also doing two things right now with trying to protect players, older players. You've got Ricard, who's got injury history. You've got Mark Andrews, who's developing injury history. You've got 400 miles. I think this play action design is going to be very deadly. I don't think the fans are quite ready for what's going to happen when Derrick Henry's in the backfield and you've got Andrews and Flowers on the field. That's going to be electric. There's no doubt about that. I question whether early in the season Andrews is going to be up to that level of doing that.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I have similar concerns about Ricard, but I think Ricard's shown that he's got a good ability to bounce back. I'm more worried about Andrews because this is his first major injury. This is also a perfect opportunity in the first month, month and a half of the season to establish Kohler as a true seam threat, which opens up other things around him. It's a good opportunity for likely to expand his role as a pass catcher. I think this concern might be a good thing for the Ravens as an entire team, but maybe it might be a bad thing for Andrews himself. I do think if Andrews has a great late end of the season, which I think he can still have, as long as he's doesn't get injured, I think that has to be what I think it's just really the way that things have to be.
Well, there'll be at least a couple different ways that this will break down, and they'll go back to playing Andrews as much as they possibly can. The first is there's more reasons. There's an injury to somebody else, likely is ineffective for whatever reason. That would certainly force it. The Ravens lose a couple of games, and Andrews doesn't, is playing 50% of the snaps in those losses and is still productive on those snaps. And there's questions about why the hell aren't we playing Mark Andrews more? Or the Ravens get behind in some games and they have to use the passing game, and Mark Andrews remains one of their A-level weapons and they want him on the field, whether it's with Likely or alternating with Likely and with wide receivers. a lot of things can force them to use more Mark Andrews snaps. And I don't have a problem with a ramp up of play time, but I guess I'm wondering, you know, if he seems fully healthy early in the season, the reasoning is that we should be concerned after this first inning, after this first injury, because he might not be able to play in the playoffs. That's what you're really saying. So we got to plan for a long season for Mark Andrews and spend more coaching effort trying to make sure there are other options there to play in his place.
Yeah, I mean, if Andrews comes out of the gate and he's looking like Andrews of old, I mean, I'll be happy to set my concern in the bin and say I'll be really happy about that. I'll be trying to buy an 89 jersey. I think the likelihood of that is not very high. I think it's more likely that injuries happens. Likely might not be able to be as effective as he was. That's more realistic, and I think that's when you force Andrews to be on the field more. People on projecting the Ravens to be having a good September. That's the case, then we have to put Andrews in. I don't think there's anything we can really do to stop that, except for Andrews being hurt. I think that just raises the likelihood that he's going to get another major injury, and his productivity is going to be lessened when it counts for the Ravens. Because I think even with us having a bad September, maybe a part of an October, we're still going to be in a position to make a wild card run. And if that's the case, that's when I want Andrews to be at his best. I don't want him to have degraded over the season through wear and tear.
Okay. Well, hopefully, this does not end up being a concern. I am concerned about productivity anyway, just period coming back from an injury. And I'm not going to try and manage that for the Ravens. Okay. I think the Ravens are capable of managing how they get the most out of Mark Andrews. I guess I'd say two things. One is Andrews is here for 2024. I don't know if he's here for 2025, but he has a big prove it chip on his shoulder this season coming back from injury. He's going to want to play as much as possible. The Ravens are incented to get as much out of him as they can during this particular season. And yes, it would be nice to be able to use a white glove treatment on him to make sure he's, you know, is able to maintain his body for the entire season in the optimal way. Some of that will be forced by snaps, but to the degree it's not forced by snaps, I'm not going to manage that problem for the Ravens. The Ravens are you know, pretty good about managing that problem. We can just hope, you know, how it works out in terms of that. I don't think he was really over-targeted this last year either, is the other thing. You know, his targets were way down at 5.5 per game. And I'm sorry, wait a minute, not 5.5 per game. What was his targets last year? I had that wrong. 6.1 per game. Yeah. So that, to me, I mean, if he jumped in at that level again, the only thing that would prove to me is that the Ravens again trying to limit his targets in total, and that he's also recovered from the injury. And I at that point, it's week three. He's been targeted 12 or 13 times with 120 total offensive yards at that point and one touchdown. I'm ceasing to worry about the problem at that point. And played 70% of the snaps. It's not something I can spend my time worrying about. I'll let the Ravens manage the problem. And you may very well be right that it's a legitimate concern that he might not be ready for the playoffs. But I don't think it's like a knee injury I make the distinction that it's not like a knee injury with Keaton Mitchell, that you really run the risk that the scar tissue and whatnot is not fully healed, and you know he may need to go back for more, or like a pitcher who you're bringing him back from Tommy John, or you're young and you're trying to avoid Tommy John surgery, so you're really managing his innings. It may be true, it may not be, that he really needs management. So I'm interested to see what the Ravens do, but I trust their judgment in handling it properly, I guess I would say.
I think the Ravens are one of the teams in the entire league I would trust in injury management right now. They have the history for it. I mean, the last 5 years have been dreadful for us as far as injuries go. Mm-hmm. Last year and 2019 being exceptions to the rule. I think that if they were able to manage Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses last year, we should have faith in the Ravens to manage a very talented tight end room. Mm-hmm. I think that if we come to, you know, the first two, if he has 13 targets over the first two games, I don't think this is a concern. I think the only thing that's just going to niggle in my mind is, yeah, we're wearing down the tires even further on this guy. But at the same time, I can't be worried about that too much. We have the same issue with a lot of players on this team. This isn't not everyone's a rookie. Everyone's coming in. It's, you know, by week 13, everyone's got something going on with them. You just have to trust the process. And I think the Ravens are in a good spot to that. I just think when we come to Andrews, he is the security blanket for Lamar. And as a fan, I'm just concerned about what it's going to look like in those first two games.
So let me ask you this question. In terms of snap management, I want you to rank four players who are currently on the roster in terms of most important to least important. I'm sorry to spring this on you because we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I do want to do this. And the first is Ronnie Stanley. We'll include Andrews in the group. We want to include Derrick Henry in the group, Marlon Humphrey, and let me see if there's another one I want to make sure I include in here. I mean, those are really the key four. If you had in order of how you would manage their snap load, or how critical it is to manage their snap load, rank those 1, 2, 3, 4 for me. And I'll do the same thing. We'll take just a moment here, and then we'll be back here.
So just to clarify, it's Andrews, Stanley, Marlowe, and Henry?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, I've got my rankings.
Why don't you go ahead while I figure this out?
Okay, so to me, Ronnie Stanley is the one that they don't really have a backup for, so they're going to need to manage his workload the most. I think they'll be creative about it. They may continue on with series of rotation with Patrick McCary. That's why I think McCary is going to stay exclusively a tackle this year. Even if there's an injury to Linderbaum, I think they'll find somebody else. But McCary is now a backup tackle. He's not a versatile lineman. So he'd be number one. Number two on that list, or why don't you respond to the Stanley thing first, and then I'll tell you he's number two on my list, and we can go down.
I was actually right there with you on Stanley. As soon as you said Stanley, I figured that there's also the positional value of a left tackle. Also, the rest of these fellows that you mentioned, there's other players who can play the position. We don't have anyone else to play left tackle except for a backup left tackle.
Yeah.
McCary.
Oh, I agree with that. So let me go to number two then. My number two is Marlon Humphrey. And a backup role could come to Humphrey in a lot of different roles this year, but I think the most likely is probably he still stays on the outside and plays rotationally. He could end up in the slot. I can even envision a conversion to safety that occurs sometime during 24 because they like Wiggins better on the outside, and they're not going to move Stevens at this point, I don't believe, because he's in a contract year, and it would be very upsetting, obviously, to Stevens if he were moved from right corner. But anyway, I also think he's the best corner. He's the corner they've probably have the highest expectation of play and quality of play from. Wiggins, they don't quite know what they have yet. I think they're excited by it. Obviously, he's a first round draft pick. Humphrey, the returning from injury is a significant concern, and he really may have lost something. So he's also in a huge prove it year. But he could play the slot, and he could play on the back end at safety, and he could play rotationally. But he'd be a guy I'd be trying to manage snaps for. He's my number two.
You know, when you mentioned Marlon Humphrey and your concerns for him earlier this summer, I about dropped my dog's leash while I was on a walk. I couldn't believe that you're talking about moving him to safety. But I kind of come around to that. I think Marlon Humphrey and having a good corner on the outside is just critical for this team. I also have him at two for the same reasons you listed.
Okay. All right. So we're in agreement so far. Now, my number three guy, he has worked in an enormous workload in the past, but it's just not the Ravens' way to give Derrick Henry the number of carries that he had in Tennessee. And a lot of what happened in Tennessee, a lot of what they always say about Henry is how he gets stronger as the game goes on. That's not a Henry function. That's a defense function. That defense is getting more tired. They're getting more laid on by the offensive line. There's more blocks in level two. There's more level two opportunities being created. And those second level players are failing their aerobics test in that second half against Derrick Henry. You know how to make that situation even better? Take him off, take off more time in the first half. It's not play him more. It's have him take off more time. The Ravens have other options. They've always been a multiple headed monster at running back, and that's worked very well during the Lamar era. So Henry is my number three guy on this list of four in terms of needing snap management. And it's pretty close, honestly, between him and Humphrey. I think he'll have a recent, I think he'll have a, basically a career low in terms of carries per game played.
I actually will diverge from you here. I think that I'm not worried about Henry's snap count this year. I have Henry as my fourth person to manage. One, because the Ravens have always been a running back by committee group. I don't think that's a function of protecting Henry. I do agree that Henry's going to be a closer for us. I also think that Henry is going to see a lot of play in the first, probably half of the first quarter, probably the first couple of drives. You want to establish him as a threat. You want the defense to kind of know that at any time that Henry is back there with Lamar, it's going to be danger. I don't think they're going to be really protecting Henry so much as they're going to be protecting Andrews. I just don't think that's the Ravens' way. We use our running backs, and we're not afraid to use them.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. So only a slight divergence there. The point being that there's other people, players, that are more important to manage their snap count than Mark Andrews if he seems to be healthy early in the year. And yes, there's risk that goes with that. But the Ravens' risk, honestly, on Stanley, the residual risk is not particularly high. It's high if he gets injured, and that means he can't finish the season because he gets injured and he starts a cycle of getting more injured. Obviously, if you had a way to prevent that, that's something you'd want to do first and foremost. But if he suffers an impact injury of some sort that ends his season, the Ravens are actually fairly protected from that. He's not under contract for 2025. They're not on the hook for any money down the road. It's a crap situation in terms of losing your left tackle. It always is, but it's a situation that doesn't really cost them anything. It doesn't cost them any more than this season long-term. With Andrews, that's a little bit different story because they'd really be in a position if they had an injury with Andrews that they don't know anymore whether they want him in 2025 or not. And they'd really have to, think about how to deal with that. Not that the Ravens aren't good at resolving such problems, but they would have to think about how to deal with it.
Sure. I would agree that Andrews, obviously I agree that Andrews is not the number one or number two player on this team to protect. I think it's a little more different when you're talking about Stanley, because we've known for years now that Stanley has a hard time making it through a whole season. I think this is a Super Bowl year. We are in the Super Bowl window. It's going to be hard for us to find a left tackle moving forward. I think as well as that, we don't know what we've got in Nate Wiggins. We know that Marlowe's going to be there. As long as he's not injured, he's going to be a very solid player for us. With Andrews, the real question I have comes down to, we don't really know outside of Andrews if someone can replace that, like that left, that jab that he brings to the defense. We've seen flashes from Kolar. We've seen a flash from Kolar, let's be honest. We've seen multiple flashes from Likely. Mm-hmm. I think Likely is going to be a guy. I want to see us roll into December and into the playoffs the healthiest we can. I think it's going to be easier for us to manage Andrew snaps because he's not Ronnie Stanley and he's not Marlon Humphrey. He has to play most of the offensive and defensive snaps. And that's just where I'm at. As you mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, it's a relatively small concern, but it is a concern nonetheless.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. Now, I know you had some analogous players that you sent me some information on. Is there anything from that group that you want to talk about, or have we really covered it in terms of our discussion so far?
The only thing I would like to mention, and I'll just leave it kind of in the air, is that you have players at the tight end position who, about the time age they hit 30, 31, Andrews is 29, who start getting injured more. Kittle started getting injured when he was 28, 29, and then he's kind of had to take every other year pretty injured or sprung. You have Travis Kelce, who we saw him have kind of been managed pain-wise last year. And we've seen, more importantly, Darren Waller, who he missed six games last year. He retired from it. It's sad to say he was a great player, inspirational player. But he was dealing with pain, and it's because they just didn't manage him early and often enough in the season. And by the time that it came to late in the season, he just wasn't the same tight end, and the whole team just suffered.
Well, let's take a look at Kelce for just a second, because a lot of people might consider him to be the most similar case to Andrews at a similar point in their career. They had, you know, a lot of accolades, both of them. Kelce at age 29 had 150 targets, and it was his fourth consecutive year between 103 and 150 targets. And then he had five more years where, I'm just eyeballing it here, he's probably averaged about 137 targets per year, roughly. 136, 145, 134, 152, 121. Let me say that averages to about 137. I might be off by one, but it's a number that would tell you that Andrew's targets don't really have to decline by too much from where they were to where they would be for ages 30 to 34. So I understand the pain management thing. We also have a 34-year-old player versus a 30-year-old player. And I'm you know, Kelce actually has some significant history past Andrew's age currently that says, hey, I can maintain a level of production with a high level of targets in an offense that features me very much in the spotlight.
Sure. I let me bring up Waller as well. I think we have a very good spectrum here between Kelce and Waller. Waller is also an older player than Andrews is. Kelce didn't really get injured that much. He missed a few games in his first season. After that, he just had a few aches and pains throughout his time. Last year was his first year where we really saw him have the wear and tear. He never really had that injury, that season-ending injury that reasonably we can say that Andrews had last year, even though he did play in the AFC Championship. I think it's going to be interesting in the next season which way he's going to go, because on the other end, we have Waller. Waller struggled with injuries kind of all throughout his playing career. Yep. And particularly after he was 30, that's when we started seeing him miss more games. And even the play that he had, he's playing in games was not as productive as before. And I think we need to see what Mark Andrews is capable of early in the season without you know, just throwing him out there and see which way he's going to lean, because Andrews has had more injury history than Kelce has had. He has had less injury history than Waller's had. I'm not going to say he's either one of these players. I think that Andrews is his own player. But I think if we look at this as a spectrum, I think he's going to make it into another contract. The question for me is going to be beyond 2024, is he going to be worthwhile to sign, or is likely going to be the one to sign?
Fair enough. And then I guess we get to know also if the Ravens keep him for 25. He has a big year. 25 is looking like a bargain at the price he's signed for currently. It's only, you know, it's $11 million of saved cap is all they have to pay him. That would seem like a very cheap price if Mark Andrews is back to being, you know, 2023 Mark Andrews. All right, no, sorry, not 23. I want him back to being like 2020 Mark Andrews, let's say. But if he's even the average of 19 to 23, if he's the average guy that he's been over that period, that would be fine. But if he has a tough season, if he does have problems with injuries, I mean, the Ravens are just out from under his contract. They'll cut him, and they really won't think twice about him given the depth they have at the position. But Mark, I really appreciate you coming with a concern like this, because it's often a very difficult thing to talk about a player who might not perform. I think we went down some interesting rabbit holes with this, but I appreciate you bringing this topic to the fore. Tell people where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, you can X or Twitter at @Mark_B_reading. Again, my name is Mark Blue. I just like to read, though. So message me if you want to talk about football.
All right. If you want to be on a film study short like Mark, give me a DM. They're always open on Twitter. The Concern series, I may have time for another one or two. Hit me up quickly with that if you'd like to. If you have any other topic, and oftentimes people have a new metric they've developed, or they have something that they've studied that they'd like to talk about. All those kind of topics are fine. I love to have a, you know, just an interesting back and forth conversation from somebody who has a new idea about football. And if you've heard something on the show that I've talked about wanting to talk about, that's even better if you want to come to for a topic like that. But anyway, I'll get back to you very quickly. We'll schedule a show. Mark, didn't take too long for us to turn this around, right? From first point of contact was what, 4 or 5 days? Maybe a little longer.
Not even that. I mean, first point of contact for this thought to when we actually signed this was like 2.5 hours.
Okay. All right. Well, fantastic. Mark, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.